Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a Falcons Friday from the Kia Studios. It's Hate Week. It's on. It's getting ready. I'm getting pumped up here because this is a huge game. Anytime these guys come into town, you know, the trash, the smell, all of the things associated with the Swampers coming into town. And, of course, we expect it's going to be a shootout, going to be a fun game, going to be one of those nerve-wracking games like we had last week against Carolina. Hopefully we don't have that kind of a nerve-wracking finish. But you know what? I'm kind of prepared for it, Hugh. I think this is going to be one of those games.
It's going to be a fun game. I mean, you know, as far as shootout is concerned, who knows? It's going to be fun. It's going to be a tight game. Whatever it is, it's going to be one of those games. It's probably going to come out to the last possession.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably the best way to describe this because it's kind of hard to say. It might be a high-scoring game. Then again, it might not be. But it's always more than likely going to come down to the last possession.
Yeah, and I got to see the offense do its thing here again this week like they did last week and, you know, attack down the field, do what they did in the red zone, you know, get those opportunities. Don't settle for field goals. Get those touchdowns. And make sure that you get, because you got to get seven. You get three against the Saints. You go back to that stall against the Saints, and you're going to be in a world of hurt. We all understand that. And so you can't let Drew Brees do that, because Drew Brees is going to get his. Alvin Kamara is going to get his. Michael Thomas is going to get his. It's the way it works. And so the Falcons have got to foment some kind of a pass rush. But Drew, he got
to get to the quarterback, man. But you got to
so
get
quick.
To him. You got it, like Coach Quinn always talk about. Sometimes moving him off his spot is just as good as a sack. I don't know on what planet, but it is. It is. But no, seriously, like, to move him off a spot so he can't get comfortable and throw his rhythm off the timing. That's kind of how Deion Jones got his interception at one time.
A couple of times. The one he took to the hospital. Oh, you're talking about the one in the end zone.
Where he fell on his back.
Sealed that win. That was one of the great plays, wasn't it? This is, by the way, a couple of stats about the about Hate Week here that Arthur Trish dug up. Arthur, this is game number 99 between the Falcons and the Saints. Is that right?
In this history.
And what was the stat that you had? Because I was thinking about Drew Brees against Matt Ryan that we all went, what?
It's the 20th head-to-head meeting between the two quarterbacks, the most involving starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era.
Isn't that astonishing?
It is to a degree, but both guys have been in the NFC South for quite a while, so you would have a similar matchup if you had quarterbacks in the other divisions to have hung around as long as these two have.
Yeah, but you're saying the last 53 years of the NFL, okay, which two quarterbacks have played against each other the most? And the answer is Matt Ryan and Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And I just find that to be fascinating. I mean, you would have thought it would have been, you know, some other quarterbacks you start going down the list who have been in the league a long time, but I guess they just didn't go head-to-head. And so this will be the 20th meeting or the 21st meeting, right? 21st.
20th.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, the 21st, because Brees leads the series 11-9.
Yeah, okay. So, but Ryan's had the better of him lately in the last few years. We talk about how you match up with this team, how you have to slow them down. Alvin Kamara is going to get a lot of touches in this game, both running and catching, and that's going to put a lot of stress on that linebacking core of the Atlanta Falcons. It's already dealing with the injury that we talk about. And so Duke Riley is going to have to step up, and Hugh had a chance to get into the locker room on Wednesday when we were there and talk a little bit about this game and about Duke Riley.
Duke, what was the biggest difference between playing middle linebacker and outside linebacker for you last week?
I guess you could say just I had to make sure I get everyone lined up. I have to have a lot more responsibilities, a lot of
– got to think a whole lot more.
Got to think a lot more. You know, that's the main thing. But at first, you got to get everybody lined up. As long as everybody on the same page and – I know what I have to do, then I put myself in a good position if I let everyone else know what they have to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's the main thing.
I know a lot of players, when you play, you're harder on yourself than anybody else could ever be.
Yeah, I'm always be hard on myself. You know, it don't even matter if I do it good. I'm be like, I can do that better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I got to take that S word off. I got to delete that cuss word. But it's cool. We bonded. But when you're playing that position, what do you think the biggest thing that you have to improve on? Is it your run reads, or is it the pass, you know, dropping back in that zone and trying to, you know, distinguish pass from run?
I gotta say both of them. I feel like I have a really good feel of the run pass read. You know, I didn't really get bit on a lot of play action. So, I mean, I have that feel for – I have the feel for that O-line. In the run game, just staying lower, you know, and in the pass game, just when I'm back sitting in my drops, just staying lower, not relaxing in my drops or not you know, relaxing on blocks, just getting everything, just staying in it the whole time, you know, just more focused throughout the whole game, you know what I mean? Because this is my first time really being out there that long in a long time. So it's towards the, I mean, throughout the middle of the game, I started off slow. Throughout the middle, I had a groove. And then, like, I guess you could say, but it's not an excuse, you know, but I shouldn't have let it that. But I got to be in better shape and have, so I can focus more at the end, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is the game faster on the inside at middle linebacker or on the outside at outside linebacker?
Honestly, we practice so fast here that, like, when it comes to the game, it's almost like either practice speed if it's going fast or it's not faster. Because we practice fast here, man. I don't know if there are any teams that go as fast as we do and train each other like we do. So, I mean, the game is really not that fast. It's just almost similar to practice if they're, you know, hurrying up and stuff like that.
All right, then, brother. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
As you with Duke Riley on Wednesday. So, you know, Duke, is this a case where you think that the light could, you know, go off? I know a lot of Falcons fans have been a little bit miffed at him since he came out of LSU because he hasn't performed to the level that anybody wanted. Missed that tackle last week. Is there a moment that it could kind of go off for, you know, kind of clarify for him, you know, bam, I got this, and he kind of becomes a more reliable player?
Yeah, it is, John, but it won't happen this weekend. It definitely won't happen this weekend. You could tell by the way that Duke was talking. Duke is ready to get out there to learn the middle linebacker position. And really, as fast as they practice, the only way you're really going to get those game reps, John, is you got to go game speed. He's still going to struggle a little bit. There's no question about it, because when you hear him talk at the middle, that's why I asked him, what's harder? Because outside linebacker, you know, you get the call, the middle linebacker relays the call, you go out and do your job. The middle linebacker, everything can change from a simple formation shift or formation move. Now you have to know what everybody's doing and line people up. You might even have to line up the D tackles. You might have to shade somebody, or the formation might predicate that the shade goes to another side. That's the linebacker's job. And for him right now, everything's 100 miles an hour. Like, the game is fast. He's trying to process information faster. He's learning. I mean, he's not doing bad, but the game becomes easier when everything slows down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Sure, yeah.
And then the game will slow down and come to him easier, because then he can see some of the things that are happening. That's what he's going through right now. See, Deion went through the same thing.
Right, he did.
But when the game slowed down for him, he was able to make the calls and make the checks, and he could see the different plays and see the things that Drew was doing by watching film. Duke Riley was thrown into a position where, you know, he played a little bit. Like he said, he played a little bit at that position, but now he's out there for an extended period of time. So it's like you got a small sample of size. You're like, oh, this is finna be a breeze. And then all of a sudden you get the whole entree. It could be a little bit overwhelming. But as you do it more, it's going to slow down for him, and he'll be fine. But, yeah, he's going to struggle this weekend, no question about that.
Well, I just don't want it to be the different kind of breeze, you know what I'm saying? All right, we got a lot to chop up here on the Falcons Friday with Hate Week, you know.
What's that? Different kind of – I'll leave it alone.
No, Drew Brees.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. And Arthur corrected me. It wasn't 11-9. It was what?
11-8.
It's fixing to be 11-9. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. What did you say, like Dave Craig and somebody else?
The previous – meetings were 18 each by Dan Marino and Jim Kelly, uh-huh, and John Elway against Dave Craig.
Yeah. Oh, see, there you go. And you wouldn't have guessed that in the Super Bowl era, which is the modern era of the NFL, that these two quarterbacks, Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, have met more than any other starting quarterbacks against each other, and this is the 20th meeting between the two. Also talking about the pass defense and how you have to handle things. Last week, Bleedy Ray Wilson got into the game, had a chance for an interception. Hang on to the ball, Bleedy Ray. And we wanted to talk to him about the downfield pass protection, especially with a guy like Michael Thomas that you have to try and corral. We spent a couple of minutes talking about that with Bleedy Ray. Bleedy Ray, you got a chance to get in there last week and get a good look at this. And now you guys step up in class in a way when you're talking about the passing game. Nothing against Cam, but this is going to be Drew Brees this week.
Yeah, they have an outfit where they have some guys they try to get the football to. And, I mean, on tape you see what they like to do. They have some things they do. And we have an outfit to try to go against it. And, I mean, we're going to go against a good passing attack, and we just have to take it a day at a time right now and prepare for it starting today.
When you've seen Drew Brees in the past, I mean, you compared him to other quarterbacks. What does he do that makes him a little bit different?
He's very quick with his reads. He knows where he's going mentally. He's a step ahead of what is going on across from him. He does a good job getting the ball out, and he puts the ball in good positions for his guys to make plays.
We're talking with Bleedy Ray Wilson of the Falcons about the passing attack and what they're going to face on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. Now, this team, of course, likes to check down like Carolina did with McCaffrey. Bleedy Ray, you got a chance to get in there last week and get a good look at this, and now you guys step up in class in a way when you're talking about the passing game. Nothing against Cam, but this is going to be Drew Brees this week.
Yeah, they have an outfit where they have some guys they try to get the football to, and I mean, on tape you see what they like to do. They have some things they do, and we have an outfit to try to go against it. And I mean, we're going to go against a good passing attack, and we just have to take it a day at a time right now and prepare for it starting today.
When you've seen Drew Brees in the past, I mean, you compared him to other quarterbacks. What does he do that makes him a little bit different?
He's very quick with his reads. He knows where he's going mentally. He's a step ahead of what is going on across from him. He does a good job getting the ball out, and he puts the ball in good positions for his guys to make plays.
We're talking with Bleedy Ray Wilson of the Falcons about the passing attack and what they're going to face on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. Now, this team, of course, likes to check down like Carolina did with McCaffrey to Kamara. So do you have to be out there, Bleedy, when you're out there, do you have to also be cognizant of that, of being able to turn around and come back up and support?
Right. In our zone coverages, we have to ball out break on the quarterback, close the space as much as we can, try to keep those leaky yards out of there. Something might get caught for a yard and go for 12, and it looks like an explosive play, but it was really on us. Man-to-man, just make sure that we're by a guy contesting every throw and having ball combat moments.
Yeah, you guys talk as a secondary. I mean, you came so close to an interception last week. Get the ball right there. Yeah. You guys talking about, you know, creating those turnovers. I know Rico got one, but you and Dez were so close to getting three.
Right. We for our team, we need those. We're plus three, and this league gives you a good chance to come out with a victory. And, I mean, we got one last week, but we could have made it a little bit easier, helped ourselves out throughout the stretch of the game when it was getting tough.
You know, Michael Thomas can play. I mean, he's a big, tough guy. And those big, strong receivers, the Evans of the Thomases of the world, when they're big, that's got to be like a special kind of thing for you.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, Brees puts the ball in good places for him to go up and make plays. For us, we just have to be in a position to be able to play that ball because he's a very big target and Drew Brees likes to throw him the ball.
And then, of course, Bleedy, we're talking about having rivalries right off the bat. I mean, you get Carolina week two, and now you got, well, for us fans, a little bit even more intense because it's who they are, Saints. Yeah.
The division, I mean, we started in the division early this year, so that's good for us, and we just need to get to the preparation.
Get to the preparation, right, indeed. Here we go with the Saints here, and Bleedy Ray going to be one of those guys back there. You know, with Keanu out and having to shift things a little bit here, you know, those nickel and dime packages, especially this week, are going to become so important. So guys like him are going to be, you know, really, you know, here's a guy that has come back to the team and been a, you know, a positive impact on the club when they've asked him to be and called upon him to be that. But this coverage unit, they're going to really have to lock down because they got to give, I don't know if it's coverage sacks so much, Hugh, but just a little bit of time for that rush to get there.
Yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship, John, that we talk about all the time. Pass rush and coverage goes hand in hand. But I want to point out the fact that I like the way that Aluokun is talking about how the coach speak and how you hear some of the things that he was saying in that interview that you did. He was talking like the coaches talk to them in the meeting, talking about contesting every play and everything like that, because these guys are really locked into what their task is this weekend. Because you got to learn, John, you got to know, John, that these are young men who haven't played that much at this level, so they're still learning on the fly. So the speed of the game is still overwhelming to them. You heard Duke Riley talk about how, you know, he has to be in better shape. It's not so much the shape. It's just that your head is spinning right now. Your head is spinning like a top. And you think you're tired. You're not really. I mean, you're huffing and puffing, but that's adrenaline. that's the adrenaline flowing because you want to go out there and you want to play well and you don't want to mess up and everything like that. Once he gets used to that and gets used to the game at that position, it'll start to slow down for him.
Well, Drew Brees was playing in the NFL when a lot of these guys were in pre-K.
Yeah.
Pre-K.
I mean, and that has a lot to do with it, too, because, you know, you get out there and listen, man, even though you're on the same level as these guys, you still get a little starstruck out there. You still get a little starstruck.
Well, Drew's going to be 40 this year, right? He's going to be 40. Been in the NFL a long time. Yeah, 18 years, you do the math. There were kindergarten or pre-K watching Drew Brees run around playing with the San Diego Chargers. We mentioned it's a huge weekend. It's a busy day. We're going to try to get to everything. It's hate week. It's, you know, the Braves trying to lock down a division tomorrow night. It's also a huge weekend of college football with Clemson in town. What Paul Johnson had to say about upsetting the number three team in America and what Kirby Smart had to say about Missouri's star quarterback. We have the sound. We'll play it for you next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Monday through Friday.
Swap things where you check your...
At the freaking goal line!
We're going to fill 5 hours of radio. You're going to love it.
And all through the weekend.
Football is easy. Coaches make it hard.
Just let me be a man.
The game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Huge weekend of college football going to really kind of commence tonight with a number of games. And welcome back to the Kia Studios on a Falcons Friday. John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our college football notebook brought to you by Dixie Vodka. It is football season, and that means tailgating and a true Southern tailgate, not complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America, by God, raised here in the South, and we get ready for football. How do you feel about Friday Night Football? Because we've got Penn State and Illinois tonight. We've got Washington State and USC, and Central Florida is playing a home game against Florida Atlantic.
FAU, yeah. I was about to say that, John. Yeah. Friday Night Football, I think it's reserved. It should be for high school because I think fans of high school, well, fans of their team, if they're playing on Friday night, it kind of takes away from their kids' time if they have kids that play in high school. I think Friday night should be reserved for high school football and exclusively for high school football. But I get it. You know, so many different people want to get their time and their days or whatever. That's the same way I feel about Thursday night college football now. Because last night there were some college football games being played. It was Temple and who was it?
Tulsa.
Tulsa last night. Nobody watched that game unless you went to Temple or is attending Tulsa right now or you're in school right now. But nobody watched that game, man. And I think that it just does a disservice for both of them because when I was growing up, Thursday night early in the day was for JV. Friday night was varsity. And then you rolled into the week with Saturday college, and then Sunday was reserved for the NFL, like it's always been. So, I'm kind of torn on that, though.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I don't think they ought to be playing on Friday night. There are a lot of schools that Penn State said they would never play a Friday night home game. A lot of schools in the Big Ten that are not happy about this decision to play Friday night games with this new TV contract because they don't want to, you know, get in the way of the high schools in their area because not only is it a bad look because it's a bad look, but it also costs especially if it's a big game, a lot of people going to high school games, it's a net negative. I mean, if Georgia played a high school game in Athens on Friday night, you know how many people wouldn't be going? I mean, a game on in Athens, how many people wouldn't be going to high school games and be going to the Georgia game?
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. Man. I mean, and you're forcing people to choose mm-hmm. because I know down here that high school games are big. And, you know, they're, a lot of people go to them. A lot of the rivalries around here are pretty big. So if you're having – like big college games on that same night, it's going to make it tough on people.
UGA is a noon game tomorrow at Missouri. More on that in a moment. Also tomorrow at noon, keep your eyes on Notre Dame at Wake Forest. That could be interesting in Winston-Salem. 2:00, Western Michigan, Georgia State. You can hear that game between the Broncos and the Panthers on 92.9 The Game. Georgia Tech kicks off at 3:30 tomorrow against Clemson. So, Hugh, your noon game is Georgia-Missouri, and you're keeping your eyes on Notre Dame-Wake. Georgia State starts at 2 against Western Michigan. Then you at 3:30, you've got Clemson and Georgia Tech and Texas A&M, Alabama, right? So those are your 3:30 kicks. By the way, Kennesaw State, Clark Atlanta kicks off at 6 tomorrow night in Kennesaw. Then your night games tomorrow night that are of note, Hugh, Mississippi State at Kentucky at 7:00.
Oh, I've got to check that one out.
Florida at Tennessee at 7:00. And a big game in the Big Ten West because Wisconsin lost last week. They play at Iowa. Could Wisconsin lose back-to-back games? in the Big Ten West.
I'm trying to figure out, am I interested in that Florida-Tennessee game? What is my interest level? Probably not that high.
Well, I'm intrigued because if Florida wins this game and goes into Knoxville and wins, they become the biggest threat in the East to Georgia. If you're a Georgia fan, that becomes the biggest threat in the East to you.
Florida?
I think because, you see, Florida's got that game, you know, down in Jacksonville. They've got the neutral site game, and anything can happen in that game.
Yeah, well, it always is. I mean, but it's just like when you talk about two teams that are playing, and you know how we do. We have to figure out what games would probably be the most intriguing. Just off the sound of that, that does not sound that intriguing to me.
Well, let's get to Georgia Tech at Clemson. We all know that Georgia Tech has really struggled. They had the big win on opening day against Alcorn. They go down to South Florida, and they lose despite putting up 600 yards. They go to Pittsburgh and lay an egg. Now they come back home to open conference season against Clemson at noon tomorrow on the Flats. Now, this is a Clemson team that is still the class of the ACC, but hasn't quite lit it up the way that they did last year and the year before, at least not early. They could catch fire, though. Paul Johnson talking about beating Clemson. Can they actually do it again?
You always got a chance. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but they're a really good team. We'll have to play better than we've played. You know, if you do that and you execute, you've got a chance. I think the nature of what we do gives you a little bit of a chance as opposed to have to line up in I formation and block all those guys or, you know, pass block. They haven't given up a whole lot.
No, they haven't given up a whole lot. And then Paul Johnson went on to talk about the fact that, now keep in mind, no Will Bryan, no Andrew Marshall. They lose two of their key starters on the offensive line, and they are going up against that Clemson defensive line.
Well, they're pretty good. I mean, they've probably got three, maybe four first-round draft picks up there on the defensive line. So there won't be many teams that will ever have that. The challenge becomes just trying to find a way to block them or read them to get to the second level. Hopefully, with the nature of what we do, we won't have to block all those guys, and maybe we'll be able to double some of them.
Well, I don't know. I mean, see, here's the thing. Georgia Tech's a running team, right? Texas A&M was able to exploit the secondary of Clemson. You want to run against those guys, Hugh? Is that what you want to do?
Nah, you're not going to try to do that, John. You're talking about with Clelin Ferrell, Christian Wilkerson, Dexter Lawrence, and Austin Bryan. That's the front you're talking about. Nah, but you're going to have to. I mean, that's the thing. That's the beautiful thing about teams that are built to stop the run. They force teams to be one-dimensional. But you still have to try to run to keep them honest. You're going to have to do that. And as we've seen in the last few weeks, Georgia Tech struggles throwing the football. They struggle mightily throwing the football. I mean, they're a team that likes to do a lot of misdirection. They like to run that wishbone, that double wishbone offense that they run. And, you know, they have some success out of it, but not sustained success, you know, and that's been an issue for them. And going up against a team like this with that front, that defensive front, that NFL defensive front, it's going to be a tough day for them.
That'll be a 3:30 kickoff at Bobby Dodd Stadium. At noon tomorrow, Georgia goes to Missouri. Now, I know a lot of Georgia fans thinking this is going to be a blowout, but you should know that Missouri can throw the ball a little bit. Drew Locke might be the number one quarterback taken in the NFL draft, and Kirby Smart knows what he's up against.
He can make every throw. He threw the ball almost out of the stadium last year on us. I think the biggest thing is his maturity level, his confidence. He's seen the coverages. He's seen the checks. He understands where he wants to go with the ball.
Certainly, Georgia's got a great secondary. I mean, they have a lot of talent on defense. They just got to grow up in a big hurry. And J.R. Reed, one of those guys in the secondary, one of those stars in the secondary, knows what they're going to face when they talk about this Mizzou passing attack.
They like to spread the ball, they like to go tempo, and they like to, you know, beat you deep. When you're coming to the SEC, you're going to face a different team, a different concept. And so the different ways they want to attack us is just explosive plays, and those are things we can't give up.
Well, now Missouri's 3-0, but they haven't played anybody. Drew Locke's put up 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns, but they haven't played anybody. This is somebody.
Yeah. And Purdue, I keep going back to that Purdue game, John, the last game they played. Purdue hung like 500 yards on them, offense, total offense. So they haven't seen an offense like this of Georgia's and a defense. So it's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be tough sledding for Mizzou.
Yeah, and I think that Georgia –
getting their first L.
Right, Georgia just run the football on them like crazy.
Yeah. Run the ball.
You know, just run the ball and just beat them up and just to keep – how do you beat Drew Locke? You keep him on the sidelines. That's how you beat him.
Or you get after him. I mean, you know, Jonathan Ledbetter in that front four, that front three, because they run a 4-3, I mean a 3-4 at Georgia. they can get after the quarterback. They just haven't had too many opportunities to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You saw against South Carolina. South Carolina came out passing because they wanted to try to slow that pass rush up a little bit. I anticipate Missouri probably is going to try to do the same thing. You know, you're going to try to keep those guys from pinning their ears back and getting after you. So they're going to try to, you know, throw the ball. They've had some success throwing the ball in the past, so they're going to try to come out and do that. But, you know, you talk about the corners for the Dogs. They're pretty good, really good corners. So it's going to be a tough test for them to try to throw the ball against Missouri. Against Georgia, I'm sorry.
Right, no, and Missouri can't throw it. And Drew Locke is a good quarterback, and this is what's going to make this at least a little bit intriguing. Now, Georgia's a heavy favorite to win this game, and by all rights, Georgia should go in there and put 50 on them. I mean, that's the thing.
I mean, you know, DeAndre Baker's a good corner, a real good corner. That's the name I was trying to think of earlier. But, yeah, DeAndre Baker's a really good corner.
Oh, he's a great corner.
Yeah. So they're not going to be able to do that.
I don't see how they slow down Jake Fromm and Elijah Holyfield and DeAndre Swift and that team. I mean, the thing with Georgia is, and while this defense grows up, it becomes a defense of its own that I have contended is that I said at the beginning of the year I thought Georgia had the best offense in the nation. Now Tua makes Alabama incredibly dangerous, and so Alabama's right there. So it's Alabama, Georgia, Georgia, Alabama. I mean, they're the two best in terms of being the most balanced, the most complete. They can beat you in every way. If they have to run the ball, they could do so incredibly effectively. They have quarterbacks that can beat you.
This is something. I'm not riding with Alabama, but I just want to point out this. This Tua takes them to a different level
as far
as his quarterbacking ability.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it feels like if Alabama can't run the football, they could beat you throwing it. Like, they can line up. Like, this is the first time that I feel like watching Alabama play, that if you shut the running game down, which I haven't seen that happen too much, but if you shut the running game down, that they can't throw the football on you.
Oh, no question. Jerry Jeudy has a luxury that Amari Cooper and Julio Jones
never had.
And Calvin Ridley never had.
They got a quarterback.
Exactly.
And that can throw that thing on a frozen Rizzo.
Yep, you betcha. So, I mean, Alabama and A&M going to be kind of a fun game to watch tomorrow as well. Again, our coverage of college football includes Georgia State and Western Michigan tomorrow at 2 from Georgia State Stadium. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 2 o'clock for the Panthers and the Broncos on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, if you can't make it to the game on Sunday for Hate Week, you can go to our official watch party at Sidebar in downtown Atlanta. Starts at noon, the watch party does. Game, of course, kicks at 1. There are going to be a ton of Falcons prize giveaways. Freddie the Falcon is going to be there. Cheerleaders are going to make an appearance. Sidebar, downtown Atlanta, starting at noon for the official watch party for the Falcons and Swamp People. All right, when we get back, we venture into that area of the show known as Hughes World.
Yes, well, I talk about coaches. And what I always knew about them, coaches sometimes lie a lot or play silly games. I'll tell you what I mean about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day. Now, before I start to get into what I want to talk about, because it kind of has to tie into it, because I don't understand why coaches feel the need to tell stories to players, especially when you're talking about players on the level of professionals, or even I would even go as far as to say college players. Why do coaches always have to feel like they have to lie to us as players? First of all, I want to give a shout out to the Cleveland Browns because they won a game last night. And you know what? It didn't take as long as I thought it would take, because you know what? To be totally honest, I was going to ride with the Browns every week until they won a game. And I just found out last night, the last time the Browns had won a football game, John, it was December 13th, 2015. Do you know who the quarterback was?
No, I don't.
Johnny Manziel.
Was it really Johnny Manziel?
We might want to check that again, AT, but they said December 13th, 2015 was the last time they won a game. And it was Johnny Manziel was the QB. But the reason why I want to – 2015, yes, December – 2016. December 13th?
Isn't that RG3?
December 24th.
Yeah. December 24th. They beat the Chargers. Who was the...
This is the one. It says they beat the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, they beat the Chargers on Christmas Eve of 2016.
That was Johnny Manziel.
Oh, the first time they won since December. Yeah. Browns in a football game with more than points than a point. Yeah. They got it all. They got the dates all wrong. But it says December 13th. I had the dates wrong. You're right. December 24th. My bad.
So
but I was close.
It would have been RG3.
It was RG3.
But it said Johnny Manziel.
Okay.
No, I'm looking. Well, you know what? Well, I was close. The point
you were saying?
The point is.
And I looked up
the point is, Hugh is a big Browns fan.
No, but I looked up two different places and it said Johnny Manziel.
Okay.
It did. But anyway. The point that I'm making is this,
all right.
Since I didn't make the point that I was trying to make eventually, but I mean, hey, your players mess up. But Hugh Jackson comes out after the press conference and says that he is not going to start. Well, he didn't say he wasn't going to start. He said he has to go look at the tape before he figures out who he's going to start. Dude, ain't no need to look at the tape. You need to start the QB that won you your second football game.
Right, Baker Mayfield.
You need to start a quarterback, so I don't understand why coaches be lying. And this is another instance where coaches are lying. We were talking about tonight is Friday Night Football, right? Florida Atlantic against UCF, a big rivalry. And this is the problem that I had with this coach that told it. Like, now I understand, like, as a player, the one thing that coaches always try to do is motivate guys, especially when it's a big game. You know, it's a big game. You're talking about UCF. Has so far this season, they're undefeated, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
they are. Since I've been screwing stats up all morning.
Yeah, they're unbeaten.
Don't want to mess that stat up since I've been screwing them up. They're undefeated. So this is a big rivalry for Lane Kiffin. So this week, this is what Coach tried to do. Coach wanted to put up some bulletin board material, and he went so far as to put this on the internet. So this is what happened on Devin Singletary. Neville Clark is talking about Devin Singletary, the big running back for Florida Atlantic.
Okay.
This is what is supposedly he said. He's a pretty good back. However, I look forward to stopping him dead in his tracks. So Coach Kiffin put this up all over the locker room to get guys motivated. Like, you know, they're disrespecting their running back and, you know, them everything. But here's the problem with this, John Frickin. Come to find out that this young man, Neville Clark, never said any of that. And they did come to find out that Coach Kiffin was the one that put that quote up. And you know how they caught him? It's because he spelled the young man Neville Clark's last name wrong.
Wait, Kiffin made up the quote?
He made up the quote.
A good look. That is a bad look.
Yes, he made up the quote. But he was trying to – and the bad part about it is – not only did he make up the quote, people found out before they actually played the game.
Oh, no. That's
so my question, I guess, to the players is this. Even though it's not true as a player, because sometimes we make up stuff in our head to motivate us, do you still get motivated like he said it? Or do you act or you look at Coach like he's a liar now?
Yeah, well, I would say, does Urban Meyer do this at Ohio State? Is that what you're trying
like
to get to?
Urban Meyer ain't got nothing to do with this conversation.
Yeah, he does. You know,
Urban Meyer ain't got nothing to do with
truth. Unlike other people who don't like to tell the truth.
No, you kind of missed the whole point that I was trying.
I totally. But I mean, how do you lie like that and make up a quote? I mean, I think
coaches do it all the time. That's my point, because I think that coaches do it all the time. Because I've been privy to times where.
Isn't that pathetic? You have to make up a bulletin board material?
I don't think so. And I remember hearing stories, and I used to love hearing stories about how John Randall, when he played football, John, how he would make up stories that people said about him on the field. I remember a friend of mine from Carolina they were playing the Panthers, and they say John Randall said that I forgot who the guard was, but John Randall said that they were in the huddle. And my friend played guard for the Carolina Panthers. And he said that John Randall yelled over there, "I heard one of y'all call me a racist name, the N-word." And everybody was looking like, "I didn't call you that." And John Randall had got himself so worked up that he had beat him like a drum all day long. I think he beat him for a couple of sacks. But, yeah, that I think that kind of works to your advantage sometimes, because he used that to his advantage to get a couple of sacks. So, yeah, I think in this situation, this is what makes this kind of terrible, is because – you got caught doing it. They didn't even play the game yet.
Right.
Like, this would be something if it came out after the fact. But you ain't even played a game yet.
Yeah, and that looks really bad. But, you know, Lane Kiffin's already got a checkered past as it is. Now you're doing, you're adding this to everything else?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, just make it up.
I hope
quotes.
They win tonight. I hope this bulletin board material works. I hope they
yeah, and they're playing tonight. You know, Florida Atlantic's playing Central Florida. The Central Florida, you know, the, of course, excuse me, the defending national champion Central Florida Golden Knights are unbeaten this year, but they ain't played nobody. I mean, they played nobody. They played UConn and South Carolina State. That's like nobody. And they didn't even play North Carolina because they got you know, rained out because of the hurricane. So now they're playing Florida Atlantic, and they'll start playing teams. I don't know. I'm not buying Central Florida right now, but we'll see. I mean, they got a great quarterback, but you can't replace, you know, your head coach and your star defender in Shaquin Griffin, heart and soul of that team.
Yeah, he's a beast. He's going to be – I think he's going to be a pretty good player in the NFL, too.
It is hate week for the Atlanta Falcons and the Dave Archer goes 1st and 10 with the quarterback, Matt Ryan. Plus, we'll check in on the Saints. We'll do that next in our coverage of hate week. As John and Hugh continue on Sports Radio 92 in the game.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from your game time traffic center traffic updates.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.